Dear friends, here we are together again today to discuss a new theme in the text of the book of Revelation. So far, we have studied the seven churches, then we have studied the seven seals, and now we are entering a third septenary, the seven trumpets. At first, I would like you to establish the link between the seven trumpets and the seven seals. If you were with me while I was explaining the seals, you must have realized that the seven trumpets are right next to the seven seals. Let me recall some elements that enable us to say so. The first element is the fact that when the 144,000 are sealed, it is said the following. Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. It is with the first and the second trumpets that damages will be done to the earth, to the sea, and to the trees. Therefore, we can say that the trumpets follow the seals. A second argument is that the text goes on between the seals and the trumpets seamlessly. And in verse 1, we are told that the seventh seal is opened. There is a silence for about half an hour, which is probably John's experience. Half an hour of silence is a very long time. And then, without breaking, without being told that we move backwards, in the process of this story, seven trumpets are given to the seven angels, which help us understand that the seven trumpets follow the seven seals. I'd like to mention a third argument that we have found along the way. Do you remember that there is a parallel regarding the sealing between both Revelation 7 and the prophet Ezekiel chapter 9? Here again, people are sealed. But in Ezekiel, the scene goes on, and at some point, coals of fire are scattered over the city. Similarly, in the book of Revelation, the scene goes on and coals of fire are thrown on the earth. This connection between the two is certainly that this people set apart and sealed receives this fire from heaven, in other words, tongues of fire, that is, the Spirit of God. There may be a fourth argument that I'm only quoting now, as we'll talk about it later. The judgment begins chapter 4 and ends only at the seventh trumpet. In other words, the judgment of the house of God lasts the time of the seals and the trumpets. There is a unity of the text that cannot be underestimated. Now, let's approach the text itself. Let's read the beginning of chapter 8 from verse 2. Revelation chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. That's what the text tells us. In the organization of it, we can already understand that seven trumpets are given to seven angels. One would expect them to sound right away, but it is not so. And even in verse 6, they get prepared to sound. They will sound their trumpets only as from verse 7. So you see that there is a scene that takes place between verse 2 and verse 7, the scene of the angels offering incense that is included in the trumpet. So we are indeed here in the sequence of the trumpets. But before the sounding of the trumpets, we are shown the scene of an angel offering incense. It is the meaning of this scene that we shall try to find out today. So, let's read again verse 2. And I saw seven angels who stand before God. To them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. Obviously, the first question we ask ourselves now is, who is the other angel? Because after all, offering incense is not an ordinary thing. So, the first text of the Old Testament will help us. Chapter 9 of the book of Prophet Amos. We already read in this chapter about the sifting through which the people of God would undergo. I invite you to read at the beginning of verse 1, Amos chapter 9, verse 1. And I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. In both cases, and to my knowledge, these are the only two passages in the whole Bible mentioning that the one that offers incense stands upon the altar. Why? There is something that is curious here. So first, let's reason about the one offering incense. In Israel, in the tent of meeting, the only one who was entitled to offer incense was the high priest. At first, Aaron, Moses' brother, then those who would succeed him. There were two services of incense. There was a daily service. During the daily service, the high priest offered incense morning and evening. He handled the lamps of the candlestick. Then there was a special service that occurred once a year. This service consisted of the high priest in making an additional altar. For that, he took an incense burner, a censer if you like, on which, with tongs, he placed coals of fire taken from off the altar of incense, and instead of offering directly the incense on the altar of incense, he offered it upon the censer. So, he threw two handfuls of sweet incense. It gave off a strong puff of smoke, but it also released a perfume. And it is surrounded by this odorous cloud that the high priest entered the only time, the most holy place, and this only once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. No one else entered that place, and he himself would come in only once a year. For there, in the most holy place, a light would appear between the cherubim above the ark, and that was the manifestation of the presence of God. So the high priest entered in the very presence of God. Thus you see the importance of this annual service. So this is the service referred to in our text of Revelation 8, And what makes me say so are the two or three details in the text. The first detail is the use of a censer. No censer was used on other days, except on that day was a censer used. The second element is that the high priest offered incense with the prayers of all the sins. And that day, while he was offering incense, the people were gathered together around the temple, around the tent of meeting, and they prayed instantly both for their sins to be forgiven, but they also prayed that the high priest who was to come into the presence of God would not be stricken down by God, but that he could worthily represent the people, for he represented them all. Through this high priest, the whole people of Israel was standing before God. From what we have seen, we understand that the only character designed to accomplish this service was the high priest. By the way, who is our high priest? I invite you to read from the chapter 8 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The author of the Epistle to the Hebrews tells us this. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. You have understood, our high priest is Jesus. The angel who offers incense on this altar of incense is none other than Christ himself. This being established, and having understood that Christ himself is he who stands here, you have also noticed that he is not standing next to the altar, but upon the altar. In other words, Christ is the one who offers incense, and he is the incense. He is a sweet fragrance to God. What is amazing is that he is the priest, but also the victim, the incense. He is all this altogether. And the image that God gave to Israel was only an image to make them understand the ministry of Jesus. But this ministry has so many facets, so many aspects, that it is difficult to cover them all. I'd like to move a little more in the text and point out other aspects of this passage. Let's read Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. You have understood that this service is the annual service. And if Jesus, in the introduction to the seven churches, Revelation chapter 1, is the one who deals with the candlesticks, indeed, he is already the high priest. And in the case, he is the high priest in the daily service. In the introduction to the seven seals, Jesus is also present, but in that scene, he is the lamb slain, he is the victim. In the third introduction, the introduction to the trumpets, he is again the high priest, but this time during the annual service. This means that all aspects of the sanctuary are presented to us, and therefore it is clear that Jesus Christ, is the key element not only in the sanctuary, but throughout the whole revelation. Let me read this text in the epistles to the Ephesians, showing that Jesus himself is the incense. Ephesians chapter 5, as from verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Thus we know who is our high priest, who is the angel ministering. Now I'd like to draw your attention to one last point. Jesus is our high priest, but in this context, he's officiating during the annual service, the service of the Day of Atonement. Something very unusual is happening during this service. The high priest is taking coals of fire from the altar and he is putting them on a golden censer. Then, instead of going directly into the holy place, perhaps he has already gone there, he is taking the censer and is throwing this fire on the earth. How to understand this? This we have already seen. It refers to the reign of the Spirit. I would like to go to a text in the book of Isaiah. Let's read it. Isaiah chapter 6. And we'll read from verse 1. Esaïe au chapitre 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and uplifted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he has taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." This is the service brought to our attention. As the prophet Isaiah acknowledges his unworthiness, his inability to serve God, God comes to sanctify him. So he takes coal of fire from the altar and throws them, but not to destroy. God takes and puts them on Isaiah's lips. He thus anoints his lips with fire, setting him apart. That's what is happening in this text. So, going to our text of Revelation, we may ask, upon whom is the fire thrown? For, if this was true for Isaiah, aren't these coals of fire thrown to the earth intended for the 144,000 or the great crowd? If it is not explicit, it is implicit. In reality, they receive the Spirit, and the rest of the text tells us why. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. If the 144,000 receive this fire, from the altar of incense, it is because they receive a mission, like Isaiah. They receive the same mission and they say, Lord, send me. Reflection should be, do we want to be one of those people saying, because they have received the fire of the Lord, here I am, send me? I am unworthy, I do not deserve it, I am not capable, but because you have anointed me, I say, Lord, send me.